Welcome to Brad Kyle's Brad's Motorworks podcast, where we'll be talking about some things about BMW, some things of cars in general, and some things about car repair. I hope you find it educational, enlightening, and I hope it increases your understanding of your car. And maybe along the way, we'll have some fun too. Thank you for listening, and here we go. Episode number 21, Cooling Systems. Why are they pressurized? Well, just to give you some background, this is, physical laws of nature. At sea level, atmospheric pressure is 14.7 psi, or pounds per square inch. So that's the air pressure that's pushing against everything, including our own bodies. It's what makes us be able to really breathe, is when our diaphragm lowers and it causes, pulls the lungs down, so to speak. The pressure, atmospheric pressure, pushes in, and hence we can breathe, okay? As you go up in altitude, the atmospheric pressure lowers, okay? It becomes less. And this is why, for some, those of you that are bakers out there or cooks or whatever, there's times where you realize, like if you look at a cake box type recipe thing where it says high altitude directions and they want you to do something, whether it's add more flour or the cooking time has to go up or something to that effect. Because as atmospheric pressure lowers, in other words, in higher altitudes, water boils at a lower temperature. Well, obviously the opposite of that would be true, whereas if you raise the pressure of water, or in this case, water and antifreeze in a car engine cooling system, you're now increasing or raising the boiling temperature of the water coolant or antifreeze, okay? Hotter engines run more efficiently. They have lower emissions, you get better fuel mileage, and there's also the lower possibility of sludge buildup like in really cold climates, okay? So there are definitely some advantages by running that engine as hot as they possibly can, short of it actually going into a boiling type of a state, which is not good, and I'll talk about that in a moment. Water boils at 212 degrees at sea level, okay? If you mix a proper ratio of 50-50 water to antifreeze, and you still have it just at 14.7 PSI, you raise the boiling point from 212 degrees to 223 degrees, okay? If you then take that same mixture and raise the pressure on it 15 PSI, okay, pounds per square inch. So in other words, it's already, when you fill the cooling system, it's already at 14.7, okay? That's already applying to it equally. If you then put a pressurized radiator cap on it, as that cooling system, the engine's running and that cooling system is getting hotter, that's trying to expand. Well, of course, it's hitting that radiator cap, so to speak, which it does have a pressure relief. But if you have, as a, for instance, a 15 PSI radiator cap, it will allow that pressure in the system to raise 15 PSI above where it originally started. At that rate, the boiling point of the coolant antifreeze mixture is now 257 degrees. So you can see where it is quite possible. And in today's cars, they're potentially pressurizing the system as much as 30 PSI over atmospheric. Okay, so you can get, boiling temperatures in the 260, 270 area, which sounds, it's like, well, wait a minute, it's going to boil. Well, no, it's not. It's because it's pressurized. Okay. The thing is, though, is that to be running it that high and that close to boiling at that particular under those conditions, you have to really very tightly control the temperature in the cooling system, and the pressure has to be controlled properly. The way they're doing that nowadays is, besides having a coolant thermostat in there, that coolant thermostat is also electrically operated. In other words, there's a electrical circuit that goes to it that's basically an internal heater within the thermostat. So they are able to, using the computer, the engine management system, they are more able to tightly control the cooling temperature in the system. Typically, certainly on BMWs anyway, there's multiple coolant temperature sensors. You could have one at the radiator inlet on the lower hose. You can have one on the cylinder head. There could be one at the thermostat. You can have two, three, maybe even four of them in the total cooling system, depending upon just the way they've designed it. And of course, these are all monitoring the coolant temperature at that point. It's all feeding back to the computer, and the computer decides, you know, what's going to be the coolant flow. Is it going to turn on the radiator fan or the auxiliary air fan? And so this is all to tightly control the coolant temperature. It's also important to have a proper coolant to water or antifreeze to water ratio. You normally want to have 50-50, and I'm telling you this not that you're going to be doing it yourself. This is just an informational thing. Water by itself is great. It will do what I just mentioned as far as boil it at sea level at 212 degrees. But when you add antifreeze to it, you are chemically changing the properties of that water. It's now become basically coolant or a mixture, okay? So you are chemically changing the properties of it, and in doing so, you are raising the boiling point of that mixture, okay? So 50-50 between water and coolant or antifreeze is the proper mixture. You don't want to go any higher than 60-40, meaning 60% coolant or antifreeze to water, okay, 60-40. Some people would think, well, geez, if antifreeze, you know, raises the boiling point of the water, why don't we just put in pure antifreeze? The problem with that, yeah, you'll have a fantastic boiling point as far as temperature. The problem, another physical characteristics and the downside to antifreeze or coolant, is it does not actually carry heat very well. Okay, so water actually carries heat away from the engine, ultimately to the radiator, to give it off to the outside air, better than antifreeze or coolant does. So if you go above 60-40 mixture and start going into almost a pure antifreeze mixture, but what will happen is, yeah, the antifreeze won't be boiling, but the engine will overheat because it doesn't have the physical capability of carrying away the heat through the coolant from the engine to the radiator and then giving it off to the outside air as the airflow flows through the radiator fins. So that's why you don't want to go any higher than 60-40. The main thing from a safety standpoint, and here's a little disclaimer, I'm not, you know, if you're the safest, best way, most accurate way of checking coolant level in any car, not just a BMW, any car, is to check it when the engine's cold. So whether it's first thing in the morning or whatever, the safest way to do it and the most accurate way of doing it is with the engine cold. Okay, that way you're not dealing with a hot engine, and because as the engine heats up and the coolant expands, the level will raise in typically what's called the expansion tank or in the radiator neck. Okay, if your car is so designed that way, where it doesn't actually have a separate expansion tank, the level will raise up. So even if you can safely get the radiator cap off with a hot engine, and it can be done, the radiator level is going to be higher than what it would normally be when it's cold. Okay, so if you're checking coolant level, you could, you know, misconstrue artificially high level because of hot coolant as being the coolant level's okay, when in reality, when the engine was cold, it may drop down. It depends. It may drop down an inch or two to where now you're getting like a coolant low level indicator or light or something like that coming on. So again, the safest way to check it is with the engine cold. If you are going to check it when it's hot, or there's some reason you've just got to get that radiator cap off, what you want to do is to basically release that radiator cap. In other words, unscrew it very slowly, okay? And there'll be a point where you'll hear like kind of a kind of a noise, okay? And that is pressure. You're releasing the pressure from the system. You want to do that slowly. If you just twist that thing off and all of a sudden that pressure releases, okay, you now have a coolant water mixture that may be right ready to boil, okay, at the pressure it was under, and you now release that pressure, and that potentially that antifreeze coolant water mixture can instantly go into a boil over stage. In other words, it will go through what's called a change of state. It will go from being a liquid that is extremely hot, and it will instantly boil, okay? And now someone's taken a steam bath with boiling hot water and coolant. not a good thing. Okay. So if you slowly release the pressure, and as you're doing that, again, there'll be a point you will start hearing like it sounds like air is escaping. A little bit of steam may come out, but if coolant starts to come out at that point, you want to screw that radiator cap back on. It's just too hot. That's all there is to it. It's too hot. You need to wait. Okay. So, you know, the disclaimer is that I don't want to be held responsible for someone getting burned. So this is why I'm telling you the proper way of doing it is always cold. Okay. But I just wanted to let you know, I mean, I've heard of instances and certainly talked with people. Years ago, I used to work at a Volkswagen agency, and we had a customer who came in, and they were all kind of flippazoid because they had very quickly removed their radiator cap. Luckily, they didn't hurt themselves, which is a good thing, but they had quickly removed the radiator cap, and of course, the thing boiled over, and they said, see, my coolant's too hot. It's boiling over. And when we asked them what the circumstances were, they told us how, well, we took the radiator cap off, and the thing boiled, and man, I almost got burned, and blah, blah, blah. And I had to explain to them basically what I just said, that by releasing that pressure quickly, that coolant went from being a liquid and it went through a change of state where it started boiling and becoming a vapor. Okay. So, you know, don't do it unless you absolutely have to. And just realize, even if you can safely get the radiator cap off, the level is going to be artificially high. You know, again, the engineers, this is something that slowly has been happening over time as far as them raising the pressure, raising the coolant operating temperatures. I mean, years ago in the 60s and 70s, you might have a 3, 4, 5 PSI pressure cap on the cooling system. Okay. So the water coolant antifreeze was obviously a lot cooler. That's just the way it was back then. They didn't have to run them as high because they weren't as concerned with, again, goes back to fuel mileage standards, CAFE, EPA. They just basically didn't have to do it. Nowadays, you know, I'm obviously for a long time, I mean, the pressures through my career as far as working on cars and watching these cooling system pressures, it's been slowly rising over time. That's just the way they've designed it. So we went from being, you know, in my day of being a youngster and fiddling with cars where it was 3, 4, 5, 6 PSI pressure cap. Now we are typically at like 30 PSI, if not maybe even a little bit slightly higher than that. So obviously with that kind of pressure in the system, it becomes very critical to have proper maintenance of the cooling system and preventative checks, because obviously the whole system is under that much more pressure. Cooling hoses themselves become more critical as far as how they're made. The connections become more critical. Any kind of a small leak, because there's more pressure behind it now, what maybe in the past would have been a very small leak or, you know, tiny leak, it becomes a greater leak now. You know, that's just the nature of the beast. It also becomes much, much more critical that all the components of the cooling system are working properly. If you have a thermostat that's questionable, if you have a radiator fan, electric fan, or a mechanical fan that's on a radiator fan clutch, if the fan's clutch isn't working properly, there can be scenarios where the engine can start to overheat. If the water pump's not working properly, whether it be mechanically or electrically driven. I mean, basically, everything in the cooling system becomes more critical to help prevent any kind of an overheat situation. And if something goes a little bit, you know, off kilter, so to speak, and is not working properly, you can definitely go into an overheat situation depending upon the driving circumstances. And obviously this all becomes, you know, more critical based on outside temperature and driving style and load on the engine and so on and so forth, whether the AC's on or not, and a number of different things. So summertime, certainly in California, I mean, we're known for our heat, depending upon where you're driving. You know, it can be definitely much more of a critical type situation. It behooves the owner of a person who does tend to live in a hotter climate to, you know, maybe have, as we go into summertime and it starts getting hotter, maybe having their cooling and AC systems checked out before you really have a problem. Maybe the car's in for a normal service or oil change or something. And again, if you found a good repair shop and they're capable of doing that kind of work, You know, be proactive as the owner of the car. I mean, hopefully in some respects the shop would kind of recommend that and do that for you. But it is your car. So you won't be maybe you want to be a little bit more proactive and say, hey, look, I know we're going into summertime here. Can you please, you know, check over my cooling system, check over my AC, and make sure everything seems to be up to par and is working properly. And because bottom line is that if the engine does potentially overheat, I mean, depending upon whether you pull it over or not and what the driving conditions are, I mean, ultimately, can it cause, you know, engine damage? Yes, absolutely. If that heat is not moved properly from the engine out to the outside air through the radiator and the cooling system, then that heat now stays in the engine. And it can definitely cause, you know, minor to major engine problems. So it's important to have good, proper, you know, health of the cooling system. It's important to keep it to where it stays pressurized the way it's supposed to so that it can operate at, you know, highest efficiency. So you can get, again, best fuel mileage, lower emissions. It is better for the engine to run it at the highest temperature possible, short of overheating. And, you know, if you keep up on it as far as maintenance and everything, it'll be working properly for you. Well, that's the end of this one. I hope it's been kind of a little bit of, you know, a little cooling system information for you. It was something that kind of came up in my mind, and I thought, well, that might be a good podcast to just explain why cooling systems are pressurized. So, as usual, as far as getting a hold of me, if you have any questions or anything, or if you want to email me, it's bkpodcast5@gmail.com. And again, depending upon wherever you got this podcast from, whether it be iTunes, Spotify, or Podbean, or wherever, there's certainly a place there where you can leave a comment or a question. Good or bad, I will certainly read them all and you know, respond to them accordingly. And if you have an idea for a subject matter or something, a podcast that I haven't done yet, you know, by all means, leave some comments. And it might be something I already have in the queue, so to speak, that I've got some, you know, episode notes written up on. Or it might be a subject I haven't thought about yet. So, you know, by all means, let me know. And if I need to research it, I certainly will, and put together a podcast. And then we'll all know more about our cars and things like that. So I appreciate you listening. I hope this has been informed you about your cooling system. And I hope you have a great day and a fantastic weekend. And thank you again for listening. Thank you for listening to this episode. It's been an honor and a privilege to spend time with you. I hope you found this of value. Please share it with family and friends. Above all else, with all you're getting, get understanding. May God bless you and keep you. And thank you again.